Set apart. Set apart. You know, some things in life are set apart for specific people, for specific purposes. There are just some things in life that are meant to be used by one person, maybe set apart, claimed, bought, you know, put to the side and reserved for the use of one person for a specific purpose in life. It's only theirs, all right? I'm going to show you some pictures on the screen and see if you can maybe kind of figure out where some of these things are going, all right? That first one up on the right, all right? Look, this is my toothbrush, all right? This toothbrush is meant for one person and one person only, and for one purpose and one purpose only. What's the purpose? Yes, not my ears, all right? I'm not going to do that. It's not for scrubbing the toilet with. And this is my toothbrush. I'm not sharing my toothbrush. I don't know if any of y'all are toothbrush sharers or not, but if I find out my wife, even my wife, has shared my toothbrush with me, I'm getting a new toothbrush, all right? I mean, it's just, it's for a specific person for a special purpose, all right? They're in the middle. Yeah, these are... my boxer shorts, all right? One of my pairs of boxer shorts. Look, if you find these laying around, please don't put them on, all right? These boxers are meant for a specific person. And I hesitated to bring my underwear up here on stage this morning, but at least it's not holy. We'll talk about that in a minute. But anyway, yeah, they're meant for a specific purpose, right? For me, a specific person and purpose. So I'm going to leave these over here for Midge later, all right? He'll love that. You can do it. Hey, tongue depressors. I got a picture up there, but I know that if I go to the doctor and he says, and he pushes the tongue depressor down and looks down my throat, and then he says, and he's about to throw it away, and he says, no, don't throw that away. I got to use that for my next patient. Specific person. Special purpose, all right? One time only, and it's over with. Now, this picture on the right, in the right-hand corner, it's pretty special. We took it out at Bayport the other night. This is my wife, Lisa, on the left, my mother and my brother. And Lisa, I got to tell you, Lisa is my wife, 31 years. She said yes to me, that she would marry me. She was set aside, all right? I believe with all my heart, set aside by God for a specific person, me, all right? For a specific person. All right, to keep me out of trouble and make sure life goes well, all right? That's what Lisa does. Now look, she is my wife, all right? And I feel sorry for every guy in the room that doesn't have Lisa as his wife. But all right, you got your wife and I got my wife, okay? She's yours, all right? Set apart, unique, okay? For you and you alone. Now, my mom in the middle there, I just got to say, if I could take a minute. Some of y'all know the story of my mother, Riva DiPrezio. I love her so much. Well, she got some news a couple of weeks ago. We were seriously sure that that her life could end at any moment because of the news that we got about her health. So we went up to Georgia to get her, brought her home. In the meantime, God has been at work. I believe this with all my heart through the doctors and things like that and some of the things. And she is still with us. We brought her back to Florida. She's at my house right now. I'm so glad for that. 3 weeks running. And we have every reason to believe that she's going to continue to live even with her condition. Obviously, like all of us, until God brings her home. But not today, not today. So praise God for that. Praise God for that. So, and this guy on the left, all right? This is a picture. Now, I probably don't have to tell many people in the room today that today is Super Bowl Sunday. David talked about it already, all right? And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in the Super Bowl, all right? And this guy here was set apart. His name's Tom Brady. In fact, Tom Brady's with us this morning. He grew a beard just for the Super Bowl. All right, good. Raise your hand. I see you, Bryce. All right. Set apart by a specific person or a group of people, Tampa Bay Bucks, for a specific purpose. What's that purpose? Anybody know? Oh, there he is over there too. Man, just duplicates. Yeah. Yes, Tom Brady. He was hired. He was brought in to win football games, to play quarterback, and tonight to win the Super Bowl. All right? That's what he was brought here for. He's set apart for that purpose. You know, that whole idea of set apart is where we're going with our new series about holiness. Holiness. What does it mean to be set apart by God, specifically God, for his special purpose in our life? this series, Set Apart. Hopefully you've joined us all through the last month ago. We just got done with a series called Beginnings. We went back and we discussed through Core 52. It's been a great thing. In fact, this Core 52 study, if you're not engaged in it, I hope you will be. All right, 52 weeks. We're doing it all year long, 15 minutes a day. Okay, to increase our Bible IQ, to get to know God better, his word better, and then live it out in our lives. It will change us from the inside out and the community around us as we do that. So we're excited about this. And we started just a few weeks ago with a series called Beginnings. Talked about the value of God's word. Talked about how God created the heavens and the earth way back in the beginning. It's our first message. And then we talked about how man and woman were made in his image. This is our identity in Christ as men and women, children of God. And then we talked about how, the next week, about how man fell, Adam and Eve, they decided to sin, and that was called the fall. And then, but God had a solution to that in the word covenant. We talked about that last week. Ron just talked about it in his communion talk, that covenant, that contract, that agreement between God and man was his idea to restore our relationship with him, even though we broke that relationship with him. And what God did was, is he set up that covenant through a man named Abraham. Did y'all read the chapter this week on the covenant? Yep, really good stuff. Abraham. And that was our memory verse this week, had to do with Abram. Genesis 15:6. How many of y'all memorized it? Anybody got that memory verse down? All right, a few hands. You're embarrassed. You know it, but you don't want to raise your hand. I'm not going to invite you to come on stage. All right, I promise. Genesis 15:6. If you know it, all right, just take a second right now. Take a deep breath. All right, I want you to tell your neighbor if you know the memory verse, say it out loud right now, or you can just say it out loud to me all at once. One, two, three, go ahead and share it with your neighbor. Genesis 15:6. Go ahead, go for it. Let me hear you. You got it? Abram, what? Believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. You got the last word. Woo! All right, yes. How many of y'all know the verse? You got it? All right. Give yourselves a hand. Give the person next to you a pat on the back. Good job. I heard some of y'all saying it. Get the word of God in us. The covenant. God made a promise to Abraham that his people would be God's people and that they would live in a covenant relationship with him. This covenant. And this covenant would be shared not only with Abraham and the Israelites, but all people for all time. 4,000 years, we're still living in the covenant of God. So how do we do this? How do we live in this covenant relationship with God? Well, the answer begins with understanding that word holiness. Holiness. God's holiness, who he is, and our holiness in relationship with him. Holiness, which brings us to our memory verse for this week, Leviticus 11:45. All right, Leviticus 11:45. In fact, I want you to stretch your legs a little bit. Let's go ahead and stand together and read God's word. This is our verse for this week. Hopefully, you guys will memorize this, internalize it, understand what it means. Leviticus 11:45. Let's say it together. Ready? One, two, three. For I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be I am holy. Good job, good job. You want to do it again? All right, let's do it again. Leviticus 11:45. For I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. You shall therefore be holy. I am holy. Amen, amen. Good job. Go ahead and have a seat. Yep. God's word. Do you see the words there? Look, this is God's word to Moses after he had brought the Israelites out of Egypt across the Red Sea, and he has given them an identity and is calling them holy. I love these words, and we're going to memorize those this week. But what does it mean, really, to be holy? What's it mean? What do you think of when you hear that word, holy? Well, if maybe you grew up, maybe you're old like I am, and you remember the TV show Batman, all right? His partner Robin, every time he was surprised by something, he would say, holy fire, Batman, or holy ice, or whatever. You know, the Buccaneers, holy Super Bowl, Batman. You know, whenever he was surprised, or, you know, he would say, holy this, or holy that. Batman and Robin, maybe you think of that. Maybe when you get down or you see something, you're surprised, and I don't know where I picked this up at, but I say, holy crud. What is holy crap? Like, besides the stuff on my toothbrush, what is holy, holy crap? Or holy cow. You knew that was coming. Holy cow. You look up the history on that one. What does that even mean? Or maybe when you hear that word holy, you think of, like, there's a person in your life around you that just glows because of the way they behave, the way they act. Maybe they hear special relationship with God. Maybe when you hear the word holy, you think of good behavior, moral behavior. You think of purity. You think of somebody who maybe acts better or behaves better than other people. Holy. But here's where we need to get our thinking right. And this is where we're going today. You see, if being good or behaving a certain way is our definition of holy, then we're in big trouble. And if living in a covenant relationship with God is about being good enough or about being better than others, then we're all in trouble. Look, I know, and I know you are all good people, all right? Every single one of you, good, like, I love this church, this building, watching online, you guys are good people. I mean, you serve the Lord, you serve the community, you give, you're generous, you bring smiles to people's faces. You are really good people. Most of the time, right? And how do we measure goodness, by the way? I mean, there's some pretty bad people out there that think what they're doing is good. Who decides what's good and what's not? And if our measurement for goodness is our standard, our perfect standard, God, if God is perfect and God is good, then how do we compare to him? You see, we talked about this back in Genesis. We're never going to be that kind of good. We sinned. Adam and Eve sinned. They fell short. They missed the mark. Human beings, that's where we're humans. We always have and we always will. We will never be good enough. So look, being good, being better than others, if that's what we think that God is asking of us when we think about being holy, when he says to be holy, then we've got it all wrong. And at the end of the day, we're going to strive and we're going to fail. And we're going to continue to wonder, am I doing enough? Am I being enough? Am I saying the right? And we're going to get frustrated. We're going to feel guilty. And we could, even with good intentions, as good as we want to be, miss what God really wants in our relationship with him. But thank God that holiness means something different than behaving good enough. In God's word, going all the way back, the Old Testament, the Hebrew word, kadosh, the Greek New Testament, hagios, holiness means unique. It means set apart. Set apart. Set apart specifically for a person, God. God sets us apart for a special purpose, his good and perfect purposes. This word is first used in reference to the Sabbath in Genesis 2:3, when God rested. He set apart something when he mentioned the Sabbath. You remember what it was? As holy. What did he set apart as holy? He set apart a day of the week, the Sabbath day, and he called it holy. You see, all throughout the Bible, God sets people, he sets places, he sets things, and even time, like the Sabbath day of the week, apart as holy. And the really cool thing is that God himself defines holy. He is holy. He is the definition of holiness. He is set apart from everyone else. God is on a whole nother level. He is to be worshiped. He is God, and we are not. He alone is God. So God is the one who sets apart the people and sets apart the places and the things and the times for his special purpose. And you and I, human beings, you and I, just like are called to be set apart by God, every one of us, for his special purposes. And understanding this, y'all, understanding this is the key to living in a covenant relationship with God, a thriving, sustainable walk with our Creator. It brings joy to our lives, brings purpose to our lives. Holiness, listen, holiness is about your election by God, not your actions for God. You are holy based on what God says and God does, not based on what you say and what you do. And you are claimed by God as His. You are loved. You are chosen. You are selected. You are set apart for His special purposes. Holy, holy. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. We've all come from somewhere today, out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy because I am holy. God looks at you and says, mine. He loves you. He wants you. You're holy because God is holy and He created you to belong to Him, to be His. He made you to love you and to be used for whatever it is God would call you to do. Now we're going to learn a lot more about holiness this week as we open chapter 5 of our books in the Core 52 material, but I kind of wanted to give you a jump start, okay? Kind of give you a jump start into the chapter, kind of like jumper cables, all right? Kind of like the jumper cables who walked into the bar, and a bartender said, well, I'll serve you, but you better not go starting anything. I want to get something started today, all right? Okay, there it is. There's the groan. All right, good. Look, I want to get something started today. Holiness, it is a big deal to God. It's a big deal throughout the Bible. In the Old Testament, all right, in the Old Testament, God sets His people apart. People like Noah, you've read about him. You've read about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel set apart. The second time that God uses the word holy is to a man named Moses. We're going to read about him in this section. Moses, he comes to the burning bush and God says these words to his servant Moses, who, by the way, he has set apart to be used by God. Do not come any closer, God says to Moses. Take off your sandals because the place that you're standing on is holy ground. And he said that because when God shows up and when God speaks up, that place becomes holy. And later, God would say to Moses in his law, which by the way, his law, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the word of God is also set apart as holy for his good purposes. He says in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6 to Moses that you will be a kingdom of priests. He's talking about the nation of Israel. You will be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. A group of people set apart by God. Not Buccaneer Nation. That's a huge nation this week, especially with all the bandwagon fans. But Holy Nation. We're talking about the nation of God, all right? And these words you are to speak to the Israelites. God had a plan and included people, setting them apart. God's holy nation. And it included priests and judges and prophets and kings. It included the great King David and his son, Solomon the Wise. All for his purposes. But the Old Testament also shows us that God's holy people, set apart, consistently doing unholy things. And maybe you can relate to that today. Because that's probably, if you're like me, our story too. So I think it is a good thing that our holiness isn't based on our behavior. It's that God calls His people holy, period. And the law, the Ten Commandments, God's word, then it is written for our benefit to help us be holy, to be the people that God has called us to be. So the Old Testament, it matters. Even better, the Old Covenant, the Old Testament points us to the New Covenant in Jesus, what Ron talked about just a few minutes ago. The ultimate set apart one, Jesus, our Lord. In New Testament, this new covenant holiness is referenced 230 times as God's people, now not the Israelites, but the church is set apart in a new way, a real way, a personal way. The Apostle Peter, who knew Jesus, speaks God's word. He declares it this way, 1 Peter chapter 1, Listen to what God says. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as the one who called you, who is this? You listen in, God. The one who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written. Where's it written? Leviticus 11:45. Yes, it is written, be holy because I am holy. See those words? Peter, next chapter, he says, but you, listen, let this sink in. You are a chosen people. You, God's people, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare, here's the purpose, here's who you are, here's a special purpose, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. We've got a purpose in our life to give him praise and to be called out of darkness and into his light and then live for him. Specific person, God calls us for a special purpose. So it's okay, and bear with me here, but I'm going to go back to football, all right, for just a second, all right? I don't know if this is like a light bulb thing, but it's like, man, I'm watching it on the news, and sometimes it just hits me that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are actually in the Super Bowl, all right? They're actually playing for the championship. They're in the Super Bowl. Now, I got to admit, I'm not a very good Tampa Bay Bucks fan, okay? I mean, I got some memorabilia back when I was a kid, but so one of the worship team this morning said, where's your Buccaneer shirt? I'm like, I don't own a Buccaneer shirt. Like, I like good football. No, I'm just kidding. Man, but they're in the Super Bowl. I can say that. Look, none of my teams are in the Super Bowl. Look, but I'm a Buck fan tonight. I can tell you that. That's the truth. And I am honestly not even a Tom Brady fan. I even don't like saying his name on the stage. But but you got to admit, hey, that's a special team. They've done some special things this year. And he's a special quarterback. Bill did what he does. He's special. He was chosen. Just seems like months ago. Tom Brady retires, but he was claimed. He was signed to a contract at Tampa Bay, and he was paid for a lot of money, more money than most of us will ever see in our lifetime, to come to Tampa Bay for a special purpose. And that purpose is to win football games, to play quarterback, and to lead his team to the Super Bowl, and after tonight, a Super Bowl victory. Tom Brady became a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. It's done. Signed a contract. Now, how he plays, how he performs on the field is not going to change the fact that he's a Buccaneer. He signed. He's got the jersey. And it's the same for every player on the team and every player on the Chiefs and anyone who's ever played on any team for that matter. Brady was given a contract, a covenant. And he was put on a team, and he was given the tools and the time to be what he was called to be, what he was signed to be, a winner. And now, only Tom Brady, really, as he gets up every day, only he can decide if he's going to take his set apartness, if he's going to take his calling seriously or not. He decides daily how he's going to perform, how he's going to train, if he's going to do his best or not for the team and for the owner and for the players, for the fans. Not to become a Buccaneer, that's already done. But because he is a Buccaneer, because there's something inside of him driving him that matters. And you're probably way ahead of me on this. Look at 1 Peter. Look at these verses on the screen again. Because you know what? You're Tom Brady. I'm not just teasing y'all. I'm Tom Brady. Now, I'm, okay, maybe not close to Tom Brady, and I'm probably never going to see that kind of, you know, no, okay. But work with me, okay? God claimed you. He claimed me. He's given us a contract. He's paid for us. With everything he's got, he gave his one and only son for us. He's given us a team. He's given us tools. He's given us the time to be who we were called to be, set apart. Who are we called to be? A chosen people, God says, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. God's special possession. It's far better than being on any football team, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. You talk about a purpose. How we do that? For going back again, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. How are you going to live your life? How are you going to get up in the morning? How are you going to train? How are you going to perform? Not like we used to, because just as the one who called you is holy, be holy in all that you do. Something driving us, all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. It's our identity. It's who we are. We're on the team. So how do we do this? How do we be holy? Well, we be holy by living like holy beings. And how does that happen? Three words: in Christ alone. In Christ alone. See, look, it is only through the work of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, that we can be holy. Jesus. Key to everything. And you know I'm going to say this morning, but Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He came from heaven to earth to live a perfect, holy life as an example for all of us. God's perfect Son. He died on the cross to pay for us, to pay for all of our sins. And yes, God so loved, you know this verse, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but what? Get eternal life. Man, we've got a goal, we've got a purpose, all because of Jesus. And then Jesus, after he died on the cross, rose from the grave after 3 days to prove all of this was true. Through Christ, Jesus alone, God's Son, we are saved. Through Christ alone, we are called. Through Christ alone, we are set apart. We are made holy. Hebrews chapter 10, the writer says, and by that will, God's will in Christ, by that will, we have been made holy. Through what? The sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. It is through the work of Jesus that we are made holy and we can be holy. The sacrificial work of Jesus alone. And through him, we can live a be holy life. God gave his all. He gave his best for us. He gave his Son for us. So when we believe and when we receive Christ, not achieve Christ. That's already been done. Jesus has already done the work. But when we receive this and believe this, we give our life to him and we surrender our ownership over to God. We become his. Holy. And being holy means putting on the jersey. The Bible says we put on Christ. We put him on. That's what baptism's all about. We wear his holiness every day, all day long. And how we play the game, how we do life is up to us. So shouldn't our lifestyle represent our new owner? Shouldn't our lifestyle represent our team, our Almighty God, the one who set us apart? Y'all should know this, but God set us up to win. He set us up for victory through his Son, Jesus Christ. And the Super Bowl's got nothing on what God has set up for his people. Nothing. Check this out. God's word, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul says these words to us. God, he saved us. Listen, he saved us and he called us to what? A holy life. You see it? Not because of anything that we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in who? Christ Jesus, in Christ alone, before the beginning of time. He is God. He's come to heaven. He's come from heaven, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, who? Christ Jesus, in Christ alone. And man, you talk about blown away that this is, he has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This is the victory that we have in Jesus. This is what this is him keeping his end of the covenant. Jesus gave his life so that we could be part of this. Destroyed death. He has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel in Christ alone. So when we are set apart, when we are claimed by God, when we are set apart in Christ, to live in him alone, he gives us all that we need to be holy. God literally comes to live inside of us. Just think about this through Christ and the promised one, the Holy Spirit. God literally gives us himself through the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit to be holy. God says it this way through the Apostle Paul, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, that's us. Brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. Loved by the Lord. God chose you. And he saved you through the sanctifying work. That word sanctify means this holiness. It means being set apart. The work is being done. The sanctifying work of setting you apart is the work of the Spirit. Salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy through belief in the truth. The work of the Spirit. Verse 14, he called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory. These are eternity words. Share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has set us apart through his Spirit to be saved. Salvation. Eternal life in heaven through the work of Jesus. Salvation that came through the Spirit. The Spirit who makes you holy. Think about this. I mean, it's deep. The fact that an eternal, holy God would put his Spirit inside of his people, an unholy people. But the thing is we're made holy by the blood of Jesus, which makes us the temple of the Holy Spirit, God says. And he literally comes and he lives inside of his people to give us everything we need to be holy, to live a holy life. He saves us, sanctifies us, works in us, and then works through us as his people. And today, you know, if you're not a Christ follower, you've never given your life to Jesus, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, and I believe in this verse and other verses like it that God is calling you to salvation through the work of Jesus and his Holy Spirit right now by believing in the truth. Believing in the truth. And you can give your life to Jesus and be holy. Your life, your eternity, how you live now, and whether or not you'll live forever. Depend on this. That's what's at stake. You have heard the word about Jesus. You've heard the truth. God paid for you. He paid for your salvation with the death of his only son, Jesus, and he has offered you a spot on the team. He has offered you a contract. Now you need to decide if you are ready to be holy once and for all and forever or not. And I pray that you will hear God's Spirit speak to you. He speaks through his word. You know, the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2 got an opportunity to speak, and the Holy Spirit used him to speak to a crowd of people, Jerusalem that day, who had just heard the truth about Jesus. They had seen Jesus live and die and rise again. And Peter explains to them that they had just killed the Messiah, and they understood this to be the truth. That they had just killed the Messiah. And they ask, what do we do? What do we do? Look at Peter's response. God's word, repent. Turn from your old life. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Talk about holiness. The forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Be holy. In the name of Jesus, you can be baptized and you can receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit in you, the sign and the seal of our holiness. This is the truth. the truth of God's word, the truth about the work of Jesus, and by believing this and by confessing that he is Lord and by repenting of your sins and surrendering ownership of your life over to God once and for all, when you get baptized into Christ and receive God's gift of forgiveness and the Holy Spirit of your life, you can have eternal life. He is the power. The Holy Spirit is the power to gives us to live and to be holy. And you might be saying, no, not today. Man, I'm not there yet, man. You may be wondering, waiting to be holy enough, waiting to be good enough. Look, I hope we've cleared that up today. You're not going to be good enough. You're not going to be holy enough to give your life to Jesus. None of us can be holy on our own. We need his Son. We need his Holy Spirit to transform us from the inside out. You don't need to be clean to take a bath. You need to be willing to sign a contract and say, God, use me, take me, wash me white as snow, make me yours. You are holy, make me holy. And God does what only God can do. And he will make you his child, make you his son, make you his daughter, take ownership of you and transform your life from the inside out. That is the beauty of the gospel. Through Christ alone, God gives us the power to live in him, to live through him by the power of his Holy Spirit. And I got to tell you today, God wants you and he loves you and he has claimed you as his own. And now the choice is yours. Whether you want to sign that contract and be baptized into Christ and receive what God has offered to you. And you can make that choice today, once and for all and forever, to be holy. And if you've given your life to Christ, if your story like mine is that you have decided you want to, you're a Christ follower, you've been baptized into Christ, you've got the Holy Spirit in you, be his. Be his. Be holy. Day-to-day basis, everyday life, can I ask you, how you doing? How are you doing when it comes to being holy? You see, because the set apart must live set apart. Set apart people must live set apart lives. That's a story all through the scriptures. That's why God gave the law. That's why God gave us Jesus, the Holy Spirit, so that we would look different, be different, set apart. It's not about how we dress. It's not about, you know, some of the things. Look, that's not what holiness is all about. Holiness is about letting the Lord transform us and so that the world will see Christ in us, will reflect his holiness in our lives. So the Bible gives us loads and loads of ideas and opportunities and examples of how to be set apart people, how it might look. Here's some examples on the screen. In fact, one I thought of right away was with our money. David talked about it earlier. The Bible talks about tithing. It's literally setting apart what part of what God has given you, setting apart 10% to give back to the Lord. And I know many of you are doing that. Thank God that you do that. Man, but you're generous people, you're living, you're seeing the benefits and the blessings of setting apart that which is holy for God, for his good purposes. That's why we've got the offering boxes on the doors and we've, you know, got ways that you can give online so that not only in this church, but in our community and around the world, you're literally making a commitment to set apart part of your income, part of your, so that God can use that, make it holy and use it for his good purposes. Maybe it's your time, worship. You know, with everything coming at us on a daily basis in life, man, it's just like, wow, bam, bam. The first thing that seems to get crowded out is time with God. Look, set apart 15 minutes a day. That's the beauty of this Core 52, 15 minutes a day to be with God. Set it apart. Make it holy. Make it his. Set apart time for prayer. Set apart time to be in the Word of God. That's why some of you are here this morning while you're watching online. You set apart part of your day, part of your Sunday. You've got a Sabbath day. Would you set apart a day of the week? 6 days, you do all your other stuff. But one day a week, you have set that apart as holy for God's good purpose in your life. Your bodies, my body, set apart every part. Top of your head, bottom of your feet, inside out, every single part of your body, temple of the Holy Spirit, set it apart for God. If your eyes, your ears, hands, your feet, your mouth. They're some part of your body. That you know. It's engaged in unholy things. Stop it. Stop it. Set it apart. You get up in the morning, you set apart your body for God. Make it His, because it's His anyway. If you need help with that, that's what the church is for. That's what we're here to help you do. To set apart every part of your body for Him. Maybe it's your skills. Maybe it's the service, the way you serve God. Some of y'all are gifted. You're talented. In fact, right now, there's people who have set apart part of their week, their skills, their abilities to help in our preschool department, our elementary department that you heard about from Brody earlier, our Expedition Kids, helping with teenagers, leading small groups, serving here at the church, holding doors, out in the community, everywhere. People have set aside, they've set apart as holy their skills, their talents, their abilities to be used by God for His special purposes. Set apart. God's people, this is what being holy looks like. Understanding that you are as holy as you're ever going to be, but God calls you to be holy on a daily basis and to live that out as His special children. Live set apart lives. Not to become more holy, but because we are holy. One great example that we're going to read about this week is in the life of King David. King David was called holy by God. He was chosen. He was set apart. But in 2 Samuel 11, David's life doesn't line up with who he was called to be. Set apart, he wasn't living set apart, especially when it came to a woman named Bathsheba. You're going to read that story. David sinned against God. He realized that his behavior wasn't holy. And he was faced with a decision, what he was going to do, whether he was going to be holy or not. David, praise God, repented, and he decided to be holy. This meant that he went to God. He turned away from his bad behavior. He repented of his sin, and he made things right with the Lord. A great example for us. Psalm 51 records David's prayer of repentance as he surrenders to God. And he's transformed by His Spirit. If you're like me, you've got days, you've got things that, like David, we need to do the same thing today. We need to repent. We need to turn them back to God. And we need to get back to living the holy life that we were called to live. Hebrews 12, 14, another New Testament example. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone. There's a good idea. Like Brody said earlier, be kind and be holy. Be holy because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Do y'all want to see the Lord? You want to see His work in your life? You want to see Him in a special way, do special things for your special for His special purposes? Do you want the world around us to see the Lord in your life? Be holy. The Bible's full of examples and ideas. And I hope that we'll be able to discover those things this week. So for now, I just want to ask you two questions as we get ready to leave today. In fact, in your sermon notes, there's a place where you can write in your answers to these questions. There's things you could talk about throughout the week with your family or maybe your small group. What is one way? What is one way that you can make an effort to live in peace with everyone? You think of one thing? What's one way that you can be holy so that people around you will see the Lord? What's one way you can be holy so that you can see the Lord this week? See His work in your life. Write that one thing down. What's one thing that you need to start or you need to stop or you need to set apart in your life? See, Midge just learned he needs to set apart something in his life. Praise the Lord. I deserve that. Great questions. And look, if you're not a Christ follower this morning, if you've never made a decision to get baptized and to follow Jesus with your life, then it's time for you to be holy. It's time for you to make that choice. You've heard, you believe the truth of Jesus. Repent, be baptized, received God's gift, the gift of the forgiveness of your sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life, the gift of new life in Christ today, tomorrow, for all of eternity. That's why our prayer team is going to be up here today. Come on up and share your decision with them. We'll talk with you. We'll make arrangements with you. We'll find out where you're at and help you with your next steps. Maybe today you were invited by someone who is a Christ follower. Ask them, hey, look, what do I need to do next in order to give my life and to be holy, to give my life to Jesus? If you're watching online right now, you can type in the comment section. You can reach out and let us know. You want to make the decision, sign the contract, be baptized into Christ once and for all. Give your life to him. We hope that you'll do that this week or today. And this week, man, I'm excited. I'm so pumped about what we're going to learn together in this Core 52 stuff about holiness. All right, y'all ready to get into this? I hope so. All right, holiness. If you're online, you're on Facebook, go to Core 52, the Facebook page that we have, CCW Core 52 Connection. And on that page, you're going to find resources, videos, challenges, tips, ideas. You can even share your comments and experiences with others on that website. So go to Facebook, CCW Core 52 Connection, sign up there and join us along the way. Maybe today you join a small group, a Core 52 group, or a discipleship group, and do this journey together. That's what we're here for. That's what the team is all about. You can make that happen today. Let's go ahead and stand together, and let's have a word of prayer. Let's sing. Let's give him our worship. Let's set apart the next few minutes of our service together to praise him as forgiven people, as people who know, because we've been washed by the blood of Jesus, that we have reason to praise. We have reason to have victory. We have reason to love and to worship and to serve the Lord. For I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You've been brought from somewhere today. Let's sing it out to him. He is our God. Therefore, be holy, for he is holy. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. You are amazing, God. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Please use us, your people. Set apart people to reflect your glory. As we leave this place today, God, I pray that the world would see you through us. Use us, God. It's what you called us to be. You are holy, God. We worship you. As your people, we give you praise. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.